Okay, so let's open our Bibles this morning. Oh, that's good. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. See, if you've got to do something, you've got to do it with all your heart, all your passion. Praise God. I just want to finish up with you this morning what we were looking at before we went away, and that is on contending for the supernatural. I just want to look at the last three gifts of the Holy Spirit, and then we'll start from next weekend with the Holy Ghost download that he's given me while we were away, which was very exciting. We flew back in on Thursday, incidentally, and started to unpack. Friday, I recorded 5 programs for the radio, prepared a sermon for today, and answered 436 emails, and then went to sleep. Haven't had an ounce of jet lag either. Isn't that great? On the whole trip, anywhere we went, no jet lag at all. Unlike my wife. Yeah, she had the worst jet lag of her life in Ireland. She had such bad jet lag, she arrived 2 days after I did. She's still in Ireland at the moment. This is just a hologram. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, for he gives them to each one just as he determines. If you missed the first couple of messages on the gifts of the Spirit, you might like to go and get a copy of the tapes. There's a couple of them available, and it'll give you some background on this. I'll just quickly recap a couple of very important statements that I made just before Christmas, and that is that the gifts of the Spirit are not limited to these 9 gifts listed here in 1 Corinthians 12. In my study of the New Testament, I found around 30 gifts. And look, hey, there's probably a whole stack more than that that I haven't found yet. And we serve an unlimited, ultimately creative God. And so there are probably an unlimited number of gifts and expressions of gifts through God's people. Even the same gift through a different person can be different. I mean, just look at the gift of teaching, for example. God's given to me the spiritual gift of teaching his word, but the way that gift manifests through me and through my life is different to the way it'll manifest through another person who's given the gift of teaching. And same with gifts of healing or miraculous powers or whatever. And God's Spirit works through our personality. Isn't that great? And so you might find the Holy Spirit's moving through one person, like myself or Christy, in one particular way. And then you'll see when Rodney Howard Brown comes here to this church that the Holy Spirit works through him in a completely different way, because he's a completely different personality to me. In fact, you probably can't get more opposite personalities than myself and Rodney. And that's the beauty of the body of Christ, that you get so many gifts operating in so many different ways, and so we have ultimate variety and blessing for everybody as a result. The second thing I want to say as well here is in regard to the gifts of the Spirit, that they are given for the common good. The gifts of the Spirit are not given to bless me or to bless you as an individual. They are given to bless the people around us. And so God's given me a gift of teaching, and he's given that to me not to be a blessing to Rob Buckingham or to exalt Rob Buckingham in any way, but he's given me that gift to bless you. This gift is for the common good. If he gives you a gift of whatever that gift is, it's given by the Holy Spirit to bless other people. Do you know in the New Testament, hospitality is a spiritual gift? It is. It talks about that in, I think it's 1 Peter or 2 Peter, one of the two. And that's a spiritual gift. Some of you have the gift of hospitality, and you've always thought about yourself as someone who hasn't had a spiritual gift, and that you're just a Martha and you're in the kitchen and you're doing the stuff. And yet the Bible says that is a spiritual gift, and you bless people. Every time you do the hospitality thing, you invite people round or you cook someone a meal or whatever, you are exercising a gift for the common good, for the blessing of other people. That's just blessed a whole stack of people here in this church. Amen. Some of you sat back and you thought, man, I don't have any great spiritual gifts. All I can do is cook. Well, hey, if all you can do is cook, then cook. in the name of Jesus. Amen. And may I be a partaker of the blessing. Hallelujah. That's good preaching, isn't it, Phil? That's it. It's ministry to the interior. That's why he's called Phil. You should see what he eats. Or full in New Zealand. That's after you've been filled. Okay, let's have a look at the last three gifts of the Holy Spirit this morning. Maybe I'm just really am jet-lagged and I'm just not aware of it. I'm so jet-lagged, I think I'm fine. The gifts of utterance are prophecy, tongues, and interpretation. And that's what I want us to look at this morning. The gift of prophecy, first of all. And Georgina mentioned earlier, and she's spot on, when she said that if you just sit back and you listen to a message, you will remember about 10% of it. And that depresses me totally, to think that I could spend all this time in study in the Word of God and then teach it, and then people go away with 10%. You know, it's just like you've got a tithe of the message. This is something you can have 100% of, folks. And the way you get 100% of it is not just sitting there looking at me and smiling and going, you know. If you grab a bit of paper and a pen and you take notes and you never look at the notes again, you will remember somewhere between 30 and 50%. Okay, that's just if you take notes and then chuck the notes away when you get home. If you take notes and then when you're home sometime in the next few days, you go over those notes and then you look for something that you can put into practice in your life, you will remember somewhere around 90% of the message. And so there's something just to be active in, all right? Maybe get yourself a little book, a little journal book or something or other, and just make some notes. Write down things. You have to write down everything I say. It's because everything I say is not probably worth writing down. But there are some key things that will go off in your spirit during any message, and they're the things you write down. Something that God, by His Holy Spirit, is saying to you. You write that down, write the scriptures down, read them again, meditate on them over the next few days, and let it become part of your life. And then you will be changed from the inside out. So prophecy, by definition, is supernatural speaking under the inspiration of God. That's the definition of the gift of prophecy, supernatural speaking under the inspiration of God. Now, that can include preaching. What I'm doing here right now is supernatural speaking under the inspiration of God. So to a certain extent, what I'm doing right now is not just teaching, but prophesying into your lives. All right, but it doesn't have to be a message that has been prepared. It can be something that God speaks into your spirit, whereby you can then speak that either to a group of people in a church setting like this, or maybe to one person or a smaller group of people, say like in a connect group or something like that. Okay, that's what the prophetic gift is all about. Now, this is a wonderful gift. In fact, it's one of the most important gifts in the Word. But it is also a gift that has often been abused, and it's a gift that I've seen abused in some shocking ways to manipulate and to control people, and that is not right. The one word you need to write down to remember with the gift of prophecy is confirmation. The gift of prophecy is for confirmation of what God has already said to you personally. So in other words, if someone comes up to you and they have a word from God for you, and it's a big surprise, and it cuts across everything that God's been speaking into your life, and it's total news to you, it probably is not a word from God. Because God uses the gift of prophecy to confirm what He's already spoken into your life in regard to the direction of your life and what you're doing and what you're about and all of that. It is for confirmation, okay? And we are told we must test prophecies as well. So someone prophesies over you, thank them, but then take it to God and say, okay, God, what if this is from you, if anything? And don't allow people to control you or manipulate you in the guise of a word from God. That is so important. All right, if you catch a hold of that, you'll never be deceived by something. Some bizarre things have been said over the years in the name of prophecy. I heard in a charismatic conference quite a number of years ago, remembering, of course, that all the people there were Christian people, born again, washed in the blood of Jesus, filled with His Spirit. And this man stands up halfway through the meeting and goes, "The Lord is looking over this congregation, looking for a righteous man, but findeth none." Like, what is that? You know, because we don't stand in our own righteousness. We have the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And so God could find plenty of righteous people. This guy was just talking out of his own hat and should have zipped his lip. Heard another person stand up and prophesy, "Pull up your socks or you'll get it in the neck." Like, that's God, huh? Heard of an apostolic prophet who walked into a church social and they were having a great time, you know, they were having some food and fellowship and there was music and dancing and everyone was enjoying themselves, and the prophet walks in and the music goes off and everyone stands and waits for a word from the man of God, and he says, "Yea, verily, my people, I do delight in seeing my people have such fun, and had I have been here, I would have joined in with you." I thought that was funnier than that. And then there was another person who prophesied that he got up during a church service and started to prophesy and said, "Yea, my people." And you know, have you noticed how people, when they prophesy, they always go back into King James English? "Yea, my people. Yea, verily, my people. Thus saith the Lord. As Abraham took the people of Israel out of Egypt and through the Red Sea and into the promised land, so I will take you out of bondage into the promised land." And he sat down. And about 5 minutes later, he got up and he said, "Yea, verily, my people, I do apologize. It was not Abraham, it was Moses." Gee, God made a mistake. And so, I mean, these are silly ways that people get the flesh in the way when they're prophesying, and it really is quite bizarre. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, if you just want to flip over to there with me for a moment. And the whole of 1 Corinthians 14 gives some wonderful teaching on the gifts of prophecy, tongues, and interpretation. So probably a good idea for you to make a note of that and have a read through 1 Corinthians 14 at some time. We'll just read the first five verses for now. It says, "Follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy." I just want to say something on that. You know, sometimes people read 1 Corinthians 12 about the gifts of the Spirit, and then they get into 1 Corinthians 13 and it's all about love. And they say, "Well, there you go, you see, you don't need the gifts of the Holy Spirit because love, well, that's all you need, you just need to love." But you know, why would Paul spend all that time in 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 Corinthians 14 if the gifts of the Spirit weren't really important? What he's doing in 1 Corinthians 13 is to say that all of the spiritual gifts need to operate through a motivation of love. He's not saying, "I've just wasted two chapters, guys, please forgive me, just love everyone and everything will be cool." What he's doing, he's giving you a spiritual love sandwich, okay? Chapter 12, gifts of the Spirit. That's a bit of bread. The middle bit is the filling, love filling. And then the other bit of bread is more on the gifts of the Spirit, okay? And that's what we're to do. Whenever we are operating a gift of the Spirit, whatever that is, whether it's teaching, prophesying, hospitality, whatever it is, has got to be operated by love. Yeah? If I don't love you, then I can stand up and I could teach you the Word of God, but it could be harsh and it could be condemning and it could be manipulative. But as long as I love you, I'm never going to do any of those things in my teaching to you. Amen? If I love you and I prophesy over you, I'm not going to be prophesying condemnation. I'm not going to be saying, "Thus says the Lord, pull up your socks or you'll get it in the neck." Because that's not from a motivation of love. And so prophecy is going to flow out of love. Tongues and interpretations are always going to flow out of love. The gifts of healing have to flow out of love. You see someone who is so sick and you're so overwhelmed with compassion and love for that person, you want to pray for them and see them healed in the name of Jesus. And so all of the gifts of the Spirit have to flow out of love. And that's what Paul is talking about here in 1 Corinthians 13. And so in 14 he goes, "Follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts." He puts those two things together. Especially the gift of prophecy. And he gives us then the reason why. "For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God. Indeed, no one understands him. He utters mysteries with his spirit. But everyone who prophesies speaks to men for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort." And that's the key there, folks. Prophecy is to do those three things. It is to strengthen you, it is to encourage you, it is to comfort you. And so there's three ways you can judge any prophetic message that comes across. You see, there's no room for condemnation in the gift of prophecy. I was a part of a church for 6 years in Western Australia, just after I came back to the Lord. I had a little couple of years where I drifted off into Eastern religions and drugs and alcohol abuse and all of that kind of stuff. And then when I came back to the Lord in 1979, I went along to the church that was the only Pentecostal church in the town that I was living in. And unfortunately, it was a church full of legalism and control and manipulation. It was a horrible experience. I was there for 6 years. I got strong in that environment. Other people fell away from the Lord, and we had two people that committed suicide because they couldn't hack the pace and the pressure. And every week we would hear so-called prophetic messages where someone, normally the pastor or his son, would stand up and scream at the congregation and foam at the mouth and just condemn and put us down. I mean, I used to crawl out of there every week. I used to walk in feeling so full of the Lord. I'd spent time in His presence feeling fantastic, you know. It was wonderful, and go in there, and by the end of the service, you're just like crawling out of there. You know, so much of what this church is like is because of learning what not to do in other places. And I said to the Lord, I want this church to be a church where people leave at least feeling better than when they arrived, at the very least. And I trust that that is the case most of the time. And yet we heard this week in, week out, Sunday morning and Sunday night, yelled at, told that we weren't good enough, how we were unrighteous, how we needed to be holy, and all of this kind of stuff. And I finally left there and went to Bible college, and I found out for the first time that I already was righteous, not because of anything I did, but because of what Jesus had done for me. Found out that I already was holy, not because of anything I'd done, but because of what God had done through His Son. Found out that I already was justified and not guilty in His presence because of what Jesus Christ had done for me on the cross. And for the next 6 months in Bible college, God hammered out of me any sense of legalism or control or manipulation. It was absolutely wonderful. It was freeing to discover who I was in Christ after spending 6 years being told everything that I wasn't, how worthless I was, how useless I was, and how I'd never make it. Well, I never forget going to see the pastor of the church when I told him that I was going to Bible college. And he said to me, he said, oh, well, you could go for a year, he said, and then come back and I'll give you some administration to do, he said, but you'll never make a pastor. The word idiot springs to mind, but I won't use it publicly, I promise. Let me just say a couple of other things about the gift of prophecy. So remember that, won't you? Strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. 1 Corinthians 14:3, that is so important. Has this prophecy, has this word from God strengthened me? Has it comforted me? Has it encouraged me? If the answer is no, it's not from God. Just chuck it away. Don't embrace it. Don't be controlled by it. Don't be manipulated by it. Test it. A couple of other comments. This gift is supernatural, not super spiritual. Same with all the gifts of the Spirit. So you don't need to be spooky with it. You don't need to be weird with it. You know, ooh, I've got a word from God for you. Hallelujah. You know, yeah, who's ever come across weird prophetic stuff? Like, yeah, okay. You know, it's supernatural, not super spiritual. So, I mean, just speak the thing. Just give the word. Don't get all weird with it. Speak normally. Some people have a special prophecy voice. Hallelujah, praise God. Speak in normal English. And now, we all know that, of course, the Apostle Paul used the King James Version of the Bible. And so does God, you know. I mean, if you're going to be really holy and really, really speak from God, then you have to use words like hither, whither, thither. You have to start everything with thus saith. And use as many words ending with ETH as possible. You know, F. Thus saith the Lordeth. No, just use modern English. Jesus used the common language of the day when he was talking to people. Just everyday language that people could understand. You know, one of my favorite scriptures in the New Testament was that the common people heard him gladly. The common people, the everyday folk, loved Jesus because he was so normal and so natural. And yet he was God in the flesh. People could relate to him, could relate to his teachings. Wasn't all holier than thou. And, you know, I mean, the kids were attracted to him for a start. Children aren't attracted to people who are aloof and weird. Kids love people that are normal and will get down on their hands and knees and give them a hug and who have a happy face and all of that. That's what I believe Jesus was like, because children were attracted to him. And so speak normally. Use English, not King James. Don't speak as from God. All right? Very dangerous, because prophecy has to be judged. And if you say, this is what God is saying, how are we supposed to judge that if God is really saying that? And so always couch it in careful words and say, look, I believe God might be saying this to you, but you take it for what it's worth and you pray about it and you're able to judge that, assess it, and if you think it's from God, then you receive it. Always place it in those sort of words. Don't set yourself up for a word that is definitely from the Lord. And then realize that you're in control. I've heard folk that say, oh, the Holy Spirit came upon me and I just had to speak it out. But you know, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 14, verses 32, 33, that the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. So God's not going to control you or manipulate you or anything or make you do anything. Okay, if he gives you a word either for a church or for a connect group or for an individual or a couple, then you can give that at your will and discretion. And it's really sad, you know, sometimes you're in this magnificent time of worship and you're really enjoying it, and then someone feels that they have to speak out a prophetic word, and it might be from God, but the thing is that they gave it at the wrong time and they cut across what God by his Spirit is wanting to do in a meeting, okay? So you wait on it. And maybe it's not to be spoken out at a particular meeting. Maybe it's to be written down and given to myself or one of the other pastoral team to look at it and pray about it and then share it with the church if we feel it is for the whole church. And so the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. I had to discipline a guy in our church a number of years ago. I've only ever had to do that once for giving a prophecy in a wrong way, but he was frustrated in his own life and decided this particular Sunday morning to take his frustrations out on the entire congregation. And so he was standing up, this happened at the old school hall, and stood up and started to yell at the congregation. And I mean yell, full bore. Like you wouldn't have wanted to stand in front of him. You know, you got baptized by sprinkling. And I thought, oh, I do not like what's happening right now. So I walked over to him and I said, just be quiet. And he kept going. And I said, I'm telling you right now, stop speaking and sit down. And he did. And he didn't like it. But I won't allow anyone to dump on this congregation, because I love you guys. I'm your pastor. I'm looking out for you. And I'll do it again. If anyone ever prophesies in a wrong way out of a wrong spirit, or if they're prophesying heresy, I'll just walk over and say, sit now. Sit down. Zip the lip. Keep quiet. Different kinds of tongues. Let's have a look at that next gift of the Spirit. Different kinds of tongues. Supernatural ability to speak a language that you have not learned by normal means. So you have this supernatural ability to speak a language that you have not learned by normal means. Now that can be either a human language or an angelic language, according to 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1. Paul said, though I speak with the tongues of men or of angels. And so sometimes, like those of you who speak in tongues, your tongue, your language, could be a known language. It could be a human language, but it's not known to you. We've had a couple of instances here in this church where someone has spoken out in a tongue that has been unknown to them but known to someone else in the congregation. And that's wonderful. That happened a while ago when someone spoke out in a tongue and it was actually perfect Hebrew. And we had a lady in the church that morning who knew Hebrew, and she went up and asked this person, do you know Hebrew? And she said, no, I don't. She said, well, what you were speaking this morning was pure Hebrew and you were speaking the praises of God. Isn't that awesome? So exciting. So that can happen. If you want to read more of that, grab a hold of a little book that I've mentioned before in this church, and that is They Speak With Other Tongues by John and Elizabeth Sherrill. It's a fantastic little book. And if you want to know more about this gift and all of that, it's a great book to get. And they chronicle a number of instances where people spoke out in a tongue that wasn't known to them. I think it was one case where there was a lady whose husband was German, but she didn't know German, and she started to pray in tongues, and her husband wasn't saved, and she was actually praying in German and sharing the gospel with her husband, and he knew that she didn't know German. Of course, he got saved, as you would. And so grab a hold of that book. So they can be either human tongues, or there could be an angelic tongue, which no one on earth would ever know. except if you get the gift of interpretation of tongues, of course. Now, 1 Corinthians 14 speaks of a private use and a public use of the gift of tongues. The private use of the gift of tongues is wonderful, and if you speak in tongues, then you should pray in your prayer time on a regular basis for a time in your heavenly language, in your prayer language. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 2 that if we pray in an unknown tongue, we are speaking mysteries to God. Our spirit is praying, but our mind is unfruitful. It's a wonderful gift. It's like Phil this morning when he was just stuck for words about the awesomeness of God, and the only word he could think of was wow, you know, and then he'd say it backwards. Wow. And then he turned it upside down. Mum. But whoever gets stuck in prayer and in praise and worship because of your limitation in English, all right? I certainly do. I mean, last night we had the most amazing time of worship. It was even more powerful than this morning's time. And you know, I was verbalizing my praise to God. It was, oh, Lord, you're just so wonderful. I thank you for Jesus. I thank you for such a great salvation. Lord, I thank you that you've made me righteous and holy and you've justified me. And Lord, for the privilege of living for you and serving you. And then I just ran out. You know what I mean? And it was, oh, kurama shalama karava sikiambro suku. And to be able to just pray and to praise and to worship in that unknown tongue is a wonderful thing, because then your spirit is praying directly to God. Your mind is unfruitful. You're speaking mysteries to God. The devil doesn't know what you're saying, which is so good. And that's why he attacks that gift, incidentally, because he hasn't been able to break the code. You know, it's scrambled. It's spy code direct between us and God, and it's a scrambled message. And when it gets to heaven, it's perfectly understandable to God, but the devil's going, huh? That's a wonderful thing. And if you haven't got that gift, then seek God for it, for that private use of the gift of tongues. The other thing it's used for is to build yourself up. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14:4 that if someone prays in a tongue, he edifies himself. He builds himself or herself up. It's a way that you recharge your spiritual battery. So make sure you spend time in God's presence on a regular basis, just walking up and down or going for a walk or sitting in a chair or whatever you do, but pray and use your heavenly language on a regular basis. Speak mysteries to God. He will give you the ability to pray according to the will of God, it tells us in Romans 8, when we don't know how we ought to pray. You know, you can use that and build yourself up in your faith. Tongues can be used privately and quietly in a church meeting in prayer and worship. Verse 15 of 1 Corinthians 14 tell us that. Paul talks about praying in his normal language, that's praying with his mind, and he says, I will also pray with my spirit. He says, I will sing with my mind, and I will also sing with my spirit. And so you'll notice here in church, most times we'll spend time singing songs in English, but then we'll give you a free worship time. And that's a time when you can just express your heart to God, express your mind to God. And as I said before, you get to the stage where you just don't know what else you can say. You just run out. And that's a time when you can just pray, either speak out or to sing out in your heavenly language, in your prayer language. And that's a wonderful thing to in worship to God. You can do that. But if you speak out loud in a tongue in the church so that everyone can hear you, then it must be interpreted. Okay? If you speak out loud, you're given a gift of tongues, and you speak out loud so the whole congregation can hear, then either you or someone else in the congregation then has to pray for the interpretation of that tongue. That's very important indeed. Okay, so let's have a look at the interpretation of tongues. Supernatural ability to interpret a language you've never learned. And we'll just finish with this morning. Supernatural ability to interpret a language you've never learned. I wonder if you've ever had this experience. You've heard someone speak out in a tongue and they've talked for like about 30 seconds. And then someone stands up or whatever with an interpretation that goes on for 5 minutes. You ever had that experience? And you go, what's with that? That person said two sentences and then the person with the interpretation wrote a book. What's with it is this, it's the interpretation of tongues, not the translation of tongues. If it was a translation, then if it was a two-sentence message in tongues, it would be probably a two, maybe three-sentence interpretation, translation, but it's an interpretation. So what happens is someone stands and gives a message in tongues, and then someone else is given the interpretation, and they verbalize that interpretation of it. They try and then communicate the picture that God has given to them by His Spirit. And some people just get a little wordy, a little carried away with it, and trying to explain the message that they've been given, and they go on and on and on and on. So the best thing is, with the interpretation of tongues, if God gives you an interpretation, if God gives you a message, just get it across and then finish. Okay? You don't need to go on and on and on with a gift. I've heard prophecies and interpretations that have gone on for 10, 15, 20 minutes, and you know, you can't take it all in. And so just get the gist of it across to the people, and then let's move on. Amen? So spiritual gifts are so important. If you missed the last couple of messages, like I say, get a hold of the tape, and let's seek God for gifts of the Spirit here in this church.